Let us go on to the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and verse 4. The book of Revelation, chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, "And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Praise God. The title is Saints Ministering in Heaven. If you've been wondering, what will I do when I leave this world, when I'm saved, when I go to heaven? This message will give you a few answers. But the Bible tells us, eyes not seen, ears not heard, the things that God has prepared for them who love him. One thing you can be sure of is that we are not going to be passive in heaven. Do not for a second believe that to rest in heaven means to be passive, to be reclining in, I don't know what, sofas or couches and become being completely inactive. This is not what the Bible says. We see the nature of God from the beginning in the book of Genesis. He prepared a garden for Adam and Eve, and he gave a job to them. They were to be gardeners. The nature of the job is not really that important, of course, as long as it's not a bad job. But when I say bad, I mean a sinful job. But the principle, we are made in the image of God. God is not a God of inactivity, a God of passivity, a God of laziness, God forbid. We are made in his image, and God is a diligent worker. Amen. I think that's a good phrase to apply to our God. He is a diligent worker. Just look around you. King David said, the handiworks of God. I mean, God loves to work. Praise God. And I hope you understand that God loves it when we also work both in his honor and whatever else you may be doing. You know, somebody may say, there is the work of God and there is the work which is not God's work. We understand what you mean, but let's not forget that God made Adam into a gardener. Amen? Which it's not Adam who decided, I'm going to be a gardener. It is God who gave him this job. So when Adam was gardening and Eve, they were fulfilling the will of God. Praise God. So I think we honor God when we understand that to be active, to use our time, both for his work and just in general, it's a blessing. These last few days, I don't like to be bored. And I also like to vary some activity. Because this God is a God of variation. So I try to keep myself busy by trying to do some DIY. DIY is do it yourself. Some renovation at home, working with, you know, plastering the wall or putting cement on the floor. It's not the job, but it's the principle, which is from God. To be active, to be a gardener, to be a worker. It pleases God. So with this background information, we will look at the 24 elders in heaven. And right there in the scripture we just read in Revelation chapter 4, verse 4, we see that they are ministering in heaven. Heaven is not a retirement home for Christians. Amen. It's not a retirement home. It is not a place for recuperation. Because once we leave this world, we don't get tired. Amen. We will have an infinite amount of energy. We do not need to rest, really. We rest from the world, this world and its sin and its troubles. But we will be fresh, eternally fresh, to glorify the Lord, to do so much for Him, to minister to the Lord. So what a great, glorious future awaits us, praise God. We should not think that heaven is a place where I'm tired, I'll be resting, recuperating, because Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint," praise God. If God can renew our strength through His Spirit on this earth, in this mortal and corrupt body, how much more when we go to heaven, where we have a new body, an immortal, incorruptible body? I can't wait to put on the real body of Christ and leave this world and this flesh, because especially as you get older, you begin to notice you are tired a lot more quicker than before. You notice some aches in your joints, in your feet, and all of that sadly brings home the realization that, oh, age is catching up with me. But thank God in heaven, praise God, we will have eternal, an infinite amount of energy to work for the Lord for His glory. Praise God. So let's now enter heaven. The moment John the Apostle entered heaven, he noticed amongst others 24 elders. They were real elders. Now, while they were real people who talked to them, who instructed him, who taught him, who showed him how to do service to Jesus, at the same time, we should understand that these 24 elders represent the ministry of each Christian. Amen. They are representing the church in a sense. The church is ministering on the earth to Jesus, and in heaven, the 24 elders who represent the body of Christ, they are also ministering in heaven. So there is a church in heaven and on the earth which is ministering to Jesus. Praise God. And Jesus is worthy of this service. He is worthy of the church in heaven and the church on the earth glorifying, ministering to Him. Praise God. Some people believe that 12 of them represent the 12 elders of Israel, and the remaining 12 represent the 12 apostles. It could be. But later we will see that there are some problems with this kind of a translation or interpretation. We'll come back to that. But let's look at the ministry of these 24 elders. And we are looking at this ministry because it should fill us with inspiration to continue to minister to the Lord on the earth, knowing that we have 24 elders. We have the church in heaven also, which is ministering to Jesus. Just as we do, faithfully, 24/7, they are glorifying Him. They're ministering to the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, the greatest way to live on this earth is in the service of Jesus. Amen. The greatest way to live on this earth is in the service of Jesus. There is no greater blessing. May Jesus give you that blessing. You know, was it yesterday or day before? One couldn't fail to register. It's everywhere in the news. the great sporting wrestling icon Hulk Hogan passed away. And I remember seeing Hulk Hogan back even in, you know, on TV, that is 1982, 83. That's a long time ago, almost 50 years ago. And somehow I couldn't help thinking, what did he spend his life on? You know, I know people love him and he was a great athlete, et cetera, et cetera. But the question that one should ask oneself when we hear in the news about the passing away of such so-called icons, firstly, it's not what the world thinks about him, but it's what Jesus thinks about it. And I'm glad that some reported that before he passed away, I mean, a few years before, in the last few years of his life, he actually gave his life to Jesus. I hope that is true. Only the Lord knows. But what I do know is this. I wouldn't want to spend my whole life, the lion's share of my life, on something that really has little or nothing to do with Jesus. So let's think about this. He was 70. Many wrestlers do not live to be 70. They die beforehand because of steroid abuse and all sorts of other issues. He was blessed to live that long. But what did he spend his life on? If we live to be 70 and you look back and say, what did I minister to Jesus? Did I spend even 50% of my life? Better still, 75% or 80% or 90% of my life serving Jesus. I think that's the real question we should ask ourselves. So the church in heaven is ministering constantly to Jesus. And the church on the earth is ministering constantly to Jesus. What a great blessing. Now, the first thing we notice is these 24 elders, they are seated around the throne of Jesus. Around the throne of Jesus. You know, it's a beautiful thought to think that in heaven, we will all be equally near Jesus. Praise God. They were sitting in a circle around the throne. Each one of them had equal access to Jesus. Imagine, brothers and sisters, sitting close to Jesus, looking into his face forever and ever and ever. Wow. Think about it. The apostles were blessed. Yes, they were there 3 years looking into the face of Jesus. But in heaven, we will be looking into the face of our Lord forever and ever and ever. Should that not make us excited? The place where I'm going to, forget Mount Everest and forget all the great seven wonders of this world. The greatest wonder in the universe is Jesus. And we will be looking into his face forever and ever and ever. Wow. No more distraction. No more screens. Praise God. No more celebrities. No more so-called icons. No more distractions of any kind. Only Jesus. Wow. You cannot miss heaven. We cannot miss heaven in Jesus' name. So all of them were in a circle, equally distant, equally close to the Lord. Amen. Jesus wants all his children to have equal access, to be equally close to him. You remember the mother of James and John? She wanted her sons to have special access to Jesus, more than all the others. But Jesus said unto her in Matthew 20:21, where he said unto her, what will thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, the other on the left in thy kingdom. You know, I really don't know whether to criticize the mother of James and John or to actually praise her. I mean, every mother wants the best for her children. Amen. If you're a mother, God bless you. If your desire, your prayer to Jesus is, please grant that my children, one will sit on your right and the other on your left. Praise God. What a blessed mother. This is what mothers want. They want their children to be close to Jesus. They want their children to sit near Jesus. And they cry to the Lord, Lord, please let one of my sons sit on your right, the other on your left. Praise God. Thank God for good mothers with good prayers, good desires. Jesus did not rebuke her. He actually just told her, it's not for me to grant. Meaning, you see, Jesus is God. And of course, ultimately, he is the one, but what he's going to be sitting on the judgment seat and judging everyone. But he is speaking about that order in heaven where basically everyone is given according to their fruits, according to their work. So this is still into the future. He's not yet been glorified. He's not yet finished the work that he has to do. So she was trying to preempt things in a sense. So he was also being diplomatic to tell her this. Remember, it was not the Lord who said anything negative to her. But later when the others found out what was happening, then they became angry with James and John. And then Jesus came with some correction. So I think all in all, she had a good desire. If you have a mother who prays for you to sit on the right and the left side of Jesus, that means be as close as possible to Jesus. Thank God for the prayers of that mother. And we know one way or the other, the prayers of the mother of James and John has been answered. Don't you think James and John will be sitting close to Jesus in heaven? Definitely. So this is a good prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. But before I go to the next point, let me repeat again. They were sitting around the throne of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus must be in the center. Amen. Jesus must be in the center of what we do. Praise God. I don't know what your job is. I don't know what you do in your life. But Jesus must be at the center. Can you say that today? Can you really put your hand on your heart and say, Jesus is at the center of my life? I do many things, but Jesus knows, and I know, that he is in the center of my life. Can people say, when they think of you, oh, she was a Christian. Everything she did was about Jesus. Oh, that brother, I think Jesus was very important for him. You cannot understand his life without understanding his love for Jesus. Praise God. So, is Jesus at the center of your life? You may be a doctor, you may be a nurse, you may be a pharmacist, you may be a teacher, you may be an engineer, doesn't matter. Jesus can still be at the center of your life. And in heaven, the 24 elders, they were seated around Jesus. Praise God. Whatever they did, Jesus is there at the center. Praise God. The danger is when Jesus is no longer in the center. You see, for every one of the elders, Jesus was in the center of their lives in heaven. He is right now, even. So, can we say, as it is in heaven, so be it on earth. Praise God. That will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, John has told us in the book of Revelation that Jesus is in the center. pray, let us pray that it will be the same on this earth. Hallelujah. Only we can decide to make Jesus the center of our lives. Please don't let Jesus stop being the center. Bring him back in the center. It's you and I who decide. Praise God. Let Jesus be in the center. The 24 elders showed us that Jesus is in the center of everything they do. Hallelujah. Those who love Jesus dearly will not want to miss the sight of Jesus' kind eyes, the gentle words coming from his mouth, every movement, every gesture that he makes. We don't want to miss it. We want to follow with him. Every look in his eye, every turn of his head, every sound and tone of his voice, melody of his voice, I want to register. It will be a blessing for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, there were people who came to arrest the Lord. And the best thing they did was to stop and first say, let's hear him before we arrest him. That was all Jesus needed. Before you arrest Jesus, please listen to him. Amen. You will change your mind. So they stopped. They put away the handcuffs. And they looked at Jesus and they decided to listen to him. When you put Jesus in the center of your life and just listen to him, all the bad plans, all the sin, all the wickedness you came with will disappear. Hallelujah. You will just want to listen to him, nothing more. Listen to Jesus, hallelujah. It will bless you. It will heal you. It will deliver you from bad plans and bad ideas. Hallelujah. It will heal you to listen to him. It will change you to listen to him. And the Bible says these men went back without finishing their job. And when they asked him in John chapter 7, verses 45 and 46, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Praise God. See the weapons of Jesus. The weapons of Jesus are there to disarm us. With his words, he defeats us. Without harming us, he defeats us. Hallelujah. Jesus never fought one war physically, but he has conquered so many people today. Even Napoleon said this. He said, Alexander the Great, myself, and other great conquerors, we had to use weapons to defeat people. But this Jesus of Nazareth, he never fought a war with weapons, and today millions of people are ready to die for him. Isn't that amazing? We cannot say that of Muhammad, the prophet of the Muslims. He fought many wars. So there is something about Jesus. The most dangerous thing you can do is allow Jesus to talk. Hallelujah. And he will win the battle. That's why people are afraid to allow Jesus to talk. That's why in so many countries, the Bible is forbidden. Do you know in North Korea, China, what are these countries? Cuba, many of these countries, many of the Arab countries, the Bible is forbidden. Why? Because they know if you allow Jesus to talk, you will conquer hearts. Praise God. Because the weapon of Jesus, the sword of Jesus, is his word. Remember this. The sword of Jesus is his word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let Jesus talk. He will disarm you of sin. He will disarm you of evil. He will disarm you of hatred. Hallelujah. Praise God. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, Paul said, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds in Jesus' name. May you learn to use the weapons of Jesus. Disarm many things in your life and other people's lives, amen, that ought not to be there. So the 24 elders, they just sit in a circle in heaven and they listen to Jesus. They're not passive. This is active listening. Amen. Jesus speaks to them. Jesus blesses them. Hallelujah. Let's continue. What else do they do in heaven besides looking at Jesus, hearing the words of Jesus? Well, the next thing is that it is clear that the elders, the 24 elders, ministered to the apostle John. John was visiting to speak from the earth, and they decided we need to instruct him. We need to share something with him. And you may think, but who is really instructing people in heaven? Who is? We will know everything. But listen, we need to understand there is no scripture which says that in heaven there will be no instruction. We really don't know what God is going to do in heaven. What is his plan for us in heaven? We know what his will is for us on this earth. But who really knows what jobs, what mission, what work Jesus is going to give us in heaven? We have no clue. But we know that when John came from the earth, John was ignorant of many things. And you see, the nature of heaven is such that heaven does not want anyone to be ignorant of what is happening there. Heaven is full of grace. The grace of Jesus was upon these elders. So they began to comfort John first. See, to comfort is really to minister to someone. To comfort is to make somebody understand, listen, this is not the place to shed tears. Amen. The Bible said there will be no weeping there, but John is weeping. And they wiped away. The Bible doesn't say there will be no tears. It says God will wipe away all tears. Amen. So if somebody is wondering, how is he crying in heaven? Well, the Bible never said there may be no tears, but the Bible promises Jesus will wipe away all tears. And we see that already happening here with these elders. They comforted John. Revelation 5:5 says, one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Praise God. Heaven is a place where Jesus overcame everything. The moment we think of heaven, we should rejoice. There should be no sorrow when you think of heaven. Before we die, if your time has come to die, I really pray that we will rejoice. We are going to a place where there should be no sorrow because you're going there. You know, when you are going to travel to visit your loved ones, let's say you're going to travel to visit your mother or your father in some other country, and you paid for the tickets, and then you have 3-4 days left. Imagine if somebody finds you crying. Why are you crying? Oh, I'm going to visit my beloved ones. It doesn't make sense. You should rejoice. So when our time comes to go to visit, not visit, to live with Jesus, praise God, why should there be sorrow? What are we living for? I'm afraid some Christians love Jesus, they love church, everything for this earth, to live here as long as possible. They want this earth to be paradise for them. They want this earth to be the new Jerusalem for them. No. I think, and I wonder if sometimes the Lord allows us to suffer a lot on this earth or go through some problems, because we may become so comfortable that we don't want to go to heaven. Like the man who said, soul, soul. You know, you're rich, you have laid up a lot for many years. Take it easy. You know, tear down these bonds, bigger bonds. May the Lord help us to always prepare for the future. The future is heaven. The future is always coming closer. May the Lord help us to understand everything we do today is for that day. And that day is coming closer each and every day. So this elder comforted John. He told John, do not weep. In other words, there's absolutely no reason to weep here. You're in heaven. And so they ministered to him. Jesus is a comforter, but they're also been given the ministry of comfort. Let me say to you, every time on this earth also we comfort people, we're doing the work of heaven. That's why the Apostle Paul said, weep with those who weep. Amen. Comfort people. Praise God. Let's not be callous, hard-hearted, without empathy. Let us also comfort people. Let us be gracious to people, because this is how Jesus is. This is how heaven is. They comfort. Comforting people is one of the greatest works of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. When is the last time you comforted someone? Hallelujah. When is the last time your words, your time, your presence comforted someone? And if you can do that with somebody who is not really part of your family, you do it for the sake of Jesus, the greater the blessing, the greater the grace of the Lord will be upon your life. Find someone to comfort. There's a lot of pain. We always say the world is suffering, the world is an evil place. Well, what are we doing to make it a better place? Amen? That's the question. What are we doing to comfort people, to give them some peace in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. And the Bible says these elders not only comfort him, they went on to say something. They said in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. He said unto him, these are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. If you listen carefully to such scriptures in the book of Revelation, you will find that there is a lot of teaching going on. In fact, we even think that angels cannot preach the gospel, but I've shown you once in the book of Revelation that an angel preaches the gospel, flying around on the earth, and preaches the everlasting gospel. And that confuses us. We say, what? How? Listen, everyone in heaven is a minister. Amen. Everyone in heaven is a minister. They are given different kinds of tasks. These angels may not know what it means to be saved, but that does not disqualify them from talking about salvation. Though they cannot preach it as we do, but still, they can talk about it. Look, I've never been to some countries, but I can still speak about them in a knowledgeable way. The first time I went to Israel, several people there said to me, are you Jewish? I said, no. But it seems like the knowledge you have, you're talking about things which we learned in school and forgot. Are you sure you're not Jewish? I kept hearing this question. And then I realized, you see, sometimes it is possible to speak, to learn about a place to such a degree that people think you're from that place. So the angels, let me repeat again, all those in heaven will be our ministers. Let's put it this way. All those in heaven are ministers. We are also ministers today. Each and every one of us is a minister. You may say, what is my ministry? Well, comfort people. Share the love of Jesus, the salvation of Jesus. Just call yourself a minister and you'll start behaving like a minister, like an ambassador of Christ. So it's first accepting the title. The angels are waiting. The elders are waiting around the throne of Jesus. Whenever he says, go here, go there, do this, do that, they don't question. They immediately do it. And that's how it should be with us. We are ministers. We are not going to be inactive in eternity. We should always have this mentality, I'm a minister. And at any moment, the Lord will ask me to go to some place or talk to someone, open my house for someone. Praise God. That's why I tell people often, just prepare. You don't know when somebody's coming to your house. An angel can come. Just be ready to minister, to receive. Hallelujah. Praise God. So they comforted John. They explained to him about what is happening in heaven, who these people are who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Always explained. Don't you think if somebody had come to heaven, was allowed to come to heaven, because we cannot know. John was invited. Who else has been invited in the last few thousands of years? We cannot know. You know, there is a man from India by the name of Sadhu Sundar Singh. And many people haven't heard of him, but this man was one of the first Christians I heard about when I came to the Lord many, many years ago. Let me share with you a picture of his face, because if you can get any reading material about this man, I would highly recommend him. This man really impacted my own Christian life hugely. Here's a picture of him. And this man is Sadhu Sundar Singh. Who is he? Well, let me go back again. Sadhu Sundar Singh was from a Hindu or Sikh background in India. And over 100 years ago, he lost his mother when he was 14 years old. And this caused so much grief that he decided he would end his life early in the morning if God did not appear to him. And now he expected one of the Indian gods to appear to him. But early in the morning, there was a light that shone into his room, and he saw Jesus standing in the light. And Jesus showed him the palms of his hands with the nail marks. And Jesus told him, Sadhu Sundar Singh, he said, Sundar Singh, why do you persecute me? And the Lord told him that he is the truth and he should receive Jesus. And that was the beginning of this man's remarkable life, where until the age of 33, when he disappeared and nobody found his body ever, he basically dedicated himself completely to witnessing about Jesus and living a unique life for the Lord. Many, many people have documented miracles that happened in his life, while and they saw some of these miracles around him. He used to wake up very early, pray many hours every day. He would travel across the Himalaya mountains to preach in Tibet, where many miracles happened. Just lived a supernatural life. Now, Sadhu Sundar Singh once told a story. You know, he used to begin to pray and he would be so deep in the spirit that he would often say he was caught up to heaven. And he would see many things in heaven, just like the Apostle John. Now, Sadhu Sundar Singh once told the story. He said he was in heaven and he saw a man who just died. And this man came accidentally in heaven before the throne of Jesus. And you know what? The man was frantically looking for something. He had no peace. He was completely stressed and he was being tortured. He was under severe stress. And then the Lord looked at Sadhu Sundar Singh and told him, "Do you see this man? This man worshipped many gods. And now he's come to this place looking for those gods. And he cannot find them. The only God he saw was Jesus on the throne." Imagine. This is what Sadhu Sundar Singh saw. And the man was looking around, crying, screaming. And Jesus told him, "These gods do not exist here. They're in hell." And you know, the man was immediately sucked into hell. And he screamed there, he found his gods over there. And the Lord told Sadhu Sundar Singh, "You see, there are many people who the Lord did not send to hell, but their own beliefs, their own heart, the desires of their heart does not allow them to stay in heaven." Just think about it. So heaven itself teaches you there is only one God. Somebody may say, "Why is there no teaching about one God? It should be clear in heaven." In heaven, you can see one God. So you cannot lie about something you can see. Hallelujah. So we spend a lot of energy on this earth trying to tell people there is only one God, one God. Because it's too late later. In heaven, everybody knows, they can see there's only one God. See, they are sitting around one God. Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says what? "When he went to heaven, I saw one throne and one sat on the throne." So you see, John was being instructed in heaven. From what he saw, he was learning. Amen. But it will be too late by that time. But we are blessed. A few people have been to heaven and they've come back to tell us, in heaven, be careful. There's no three gods. There's no Trinity. There's no two gods. There's only one throne and there's only one God. You better believe in it. Because the Trinity that you're looking for, you will not find it in heaven. You will only find it in the writings of the church fathers, but it's not there in heaven. Let me continue. What else do these elders do so that we can emulate their behavior? They worship the Lord before his throne constantly. They offer up our prayers, believe it or not, contained in vials before the Lord. When you look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints." Think about it. So what do they do in heaven? They worship the Lord. They always fall down before the Lamb. They have harps. That means they play music before Jesus. I told you, in heaven, we do not stop ministering. They offer up the prayers of the saints. You see? So each and every one of them had golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Do you know that our prayers have different odors, different smells, sweet smells? This tells you how precious our prayers are for Jesus. Jesus gives each and every one of our prayers a special, unique fragrance. Hallelujah. Next time you are at the duty-free shopping and you go through this place for, the perfumes and all these other things are, just remember this, praise God, that, you know, because that's the place where you are hit with all these, so many different perfume fragrances from so many different companies. I think heaven must be smelling something like this. And a million times better. So everyone's prayer, hallelujah, has a particular, just think about your name on a vial of prayer. It's like today, isn't it amazing? All these fragrances have the names of someone, whatever their names are, Tom Ford or Versace or Hugo Boss or I'm speaking now about the men's perfumes. In heaven, each container of fragrance will have the name of a saint, a Christian. Wow. I believe we will get to smell our prayers when we go to heaven. Isn't that a beautiful thought? We thank Jesus for that. Praise God. He takes our prayers seriously. Hallelujah. Many years ago, I remember it was so sad. I came across a report. It was some Christians which belonged to some church who were exposing what was happening. There was a well-known TV evangelist. And he used to tell people, send your prayer requests and send it with an offering. And we have a prayer team, we'll pray for you. And guess what they were doing? They found later that they just opened the envelopes, hundreds of people working there, so much money coming in, envelopes from all over the world. And guess what? They were just taking out the money and throwing away the prayer requests. Nobody prayed for the prayer requests. There was no prayer. It was just a money-making business. We'll pray for you. Send your prayer request with your offering. There was no prayer. But let me tell you, with Jesus, every prayer that you make is gathered in a vial. And Jesus gives it a unique smell. And every time he smells the smell, he will remember us. Because, and this makes sense. Remember Noah came out of the ark? What happened? When Noah came out of the ark, he built an altar, he prayed. And the Bible says it came up as a sweet smelling incense before the Lord. So if you take that one and connect it to what we just read in the book of Revelation, it is clear that God has collected all our prayers and they are like an infinite perfume coming up before his presence so that he will always be reminded of our prayer requests. Praise God. So what we need to understand is we are there to serve the Lord before his throne in heaven. We are to fall down and worship him. If you don't do it, and you start just looking at the Lord and start daydreaming, then we end up like Lucifer. What was the sin of Lucifer? Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. And the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So either we throw ourselves down at the feet of Jesus, or our pride will throw us into hell. Heaven is a place only for those who are grateful, and worship the Lamb. Amen. It is not a place for doing anything else. Right now, it's a good idea to begin to become a serious worshiper of Jesus. Be a serious worshiper, because that will be our blessing once we leave this earth and go to heaven. Heaven is a place for those who worship Jesus. Heaven is a place for those with the spirit of King David. Heaven is a place for those who truly, truly are able to forget themselves and focus only on giving glory to Jesus. I've always said this. I keep repeating some things. It's because maybe the Lord is speaking to someone. The Lord is preparing us and trying to vaccinate us against some things which may be coming. So please listen when I say, the more you worship, the less you will focus on yourself. And the less you focus on yourself, the more it will be easier for you not to fall into the sin of Lucifer, the sin of pride. Worship is that medicine which will make you focus completely on the Lord and not on yourself. Look at these 24 elders. In Revelation 7, verse 11, the Bible says, all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Have you noticed in a church, the people who are new, or those who don't know God, or those who are not serious, very often, whenever I open my eyes and start to look around, as a pastor, I have this habit of doing this, I notice that it's always those who are not really having a serious relationship with the Lord, whose eyes are always open and they're looking around. They're not worshiping. But notice what the Bible says. The 24 elders fell before the throne on their faces. You know, somebody who's down on the floor on his face or her face doesn't know what is happening around them. Amen. And that's how worship should be. Worship should make us forget about the other people in the church, what they're doing, what they're wearing, what they're saying. A true worshiper really is not even aware of his or her surroundings. It's for Jesus. David was a true worshiper. He was so much in worship that he could not care that he looked like a fool. But you know what? His wife, Michal, she was not a worshiper. She was looking at David and she was not happy. She told him afterwards, you look like a fool. Let us be careful, brothers and sisters. God became so angry with her that he shut her womb. So she would never have a child. Why? Because God, the worship is for Jesus. It's not for you. It's not for me. Be careful how we comment on worship. The only comment we should give is, hey, this worship is wonderful for Jesus. Glory be to all. Oh, come on, we can do better. This is not how we should worship Jesus. Those are the only two kinds of comments we can give. But if we begin to, oh, when you are worshiping, by the way, you look like a clown. There is no stylish way of worshiping the Lord. There is no fashionable way of worshiping the Lord. By the way, Michal, how are you watching your husband worshiping and you? Did God call you? Is this your ministry to pass judgment on how he worships? God never called any one of us, anyone, to give judgment on how somebody is worshiping. Whether they jump, whether they fall to the ground, whether they roll around, that's between them and Jesus. As long as it is with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, praise God. So these 24 elders, they fell before the Lord on their faces. Hallelujah. And John was watching them. John was recording all of this. So let us learn from these men in heaven. Hallelujah. There is only one way to worship the Lord. You make yourself nothing. Make ourselves nothing. Do you want to be great in the eyes of God, in the eyes of heaven? Then let Jesus increase and let us decrease. Let Jesus increase. Let us decrease. Let us also register the 24 elders had crowns. Amen. Imagine, they were given crowns. Revelation 4:4 says, round about the throne were 24 seats. Upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. Crowns of gold. Notice how Jesus really loves us. He gave them crowns of gold. He's not a jealous God. He's the one who bestowed the crowns upon their heads. In the same way that Jesus gave so much glory to Lucifer. I've always wondered, why did the Lord give so much glory to Lucifer? Why did he give so much glory to Michael and Gabriel? And I realized, because he's not a God who is petty-minded. He's not a jealous God in the negative sense of the word jealous. It pleases him to give us glory. Imagine, we don't deserve any glory. Who are we? All the glory belongs to Jesus, but he gives us some glory. When you receive some glory from the Lord, like a crown, we know it's not ours, really. It belongs to Jesus. Let us give it back to him. Let us give it back to him. Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, all of this belongs to you. Lord, just allow me to be a doorkeeper in your house. Lord, why are you doing this, Lord? This belongs to you. Nothing to do with me, Lord. Oh, praise God. May the Lord give us such a heart. Amen. Where we will always, always, forever remember how unworthy we are. A crown of gold. How can I sit before Jesus with a crown of gold on my head? I can't imagine that. That's why I will fall down and put it before his feet all the time. That's the only way we can have crowns of gold, praise God. So these men, they gave great service to the Lord. They probably gave their lives on the earth for Jesus. And still they considered themselves totally unworthy to wear these crowns. What tremendous humility. Whatever we may achieve, whatever glory, honor, let us always give it back to Jesus. Let us always remember, it is he who put it on our head, but we will take it and put it at his feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me close by saying, we should be inspired by what is happening in heaven right now. Heaven is ministering to Jesus. Heaven is always ready to worship him, to instruct, to do any work they can do for Jesus. It is not a place for retirement. It is a place for renewal, preparation, active engagement in service, worship. Praise God. I look forward to the day when Jesus returns, not only for the 1,000-year millennium, because we will be doing great service for the Lord on this earth. That's the time we will be given charge of 10 cities or 20 cities or 50 cities. 1,000 years we will be serving. But even after that, in the New Jerusalem, we are not going to be lazy. We're not going to be doing nothing. We'll be serving him. God bless you. We'll pray together and conclude. Let us worship the Lord. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We come before your throne. We thank you once again for what you're sharing with us. We don't know what your spirit is saying. We don't know what time it is, in the sense that perhaps you are coming very soon. Perhaps you could be even taking some of us soon. But you are saying something. You're repeating something. You're reminding us to serve you, to be careful in what, how we live today. You want us to reflect the pattern which is in heaven, as it is in heaven. So let it be on the earth, Lord Jesus. Help us to serve you sincerely as they do in heaven. Make us true worshipers. Make us true ministers of you. Let us be people who do not tire of serving the Lord Jesus, and your spirit will renew us. I commit your people into your hands. I commit the remaining years, days, weeks. We don't know how long we have on this earth, but I pray you begin to prepare us to live with you forever in heaven, Jesus. I give you the praise for this. I give you the honor. All of this I ask in the name of the only God who ever existed, the only God, hallelujah, who lives forever and ever, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus Christ. In your name we say amen, amen. Jesus bless you. We thank the Lord for his mercy. And may the Lord keep you.